Hello and welcome back to the Impenetrable Fortress podcast. I'm Alan Jackway, and sitting next to me is Mr. James Bunnell.
Hello, listeners.
James, we thought we had fixed everything about football last week, yeah. And we obviously missed something.
Absolutely.
Apparently, we have to figure out what a catch is.
Yeah.
We're not going to do that
no.
on this podcast,
I mean,
because that's ridiculous, and it's not even remotely defensive related, which
no.
has I have never a, stopped us before.
But. I have a short proposal, which is all for right. the NFL to just... admit to giving up on any pretense at some sort of objectively maintained competitive sport and just turn all those close calls into voting via text from the fans,
uh-huh.
right? Anytime plays go to review, screw the sending it to New York, just throw a number up on the screen and be like, vote to confirm, you know, send one to this number. To stand, send two.
I think there should be a council of elders.
Council of Elders, I'm okay with as well.
With Tony Gonzalez and other luminaries of
yes.
the catching field. Experts in the field of catching.
I agree. Only people who are in the Hall of Fame, though.
Yeah, okay. I don't know how long...
That's true.
Because so they have to wait, right?
Tony
See,
Gonzalez
that's the thing.
Can
Tony
be
Gonzalez
in.
Isn't
right.
even there yet.
You're right.
But I would actually be okay with that. I think there's enough yeah. of them around.
I think
we
so.
We could probably make that happen. So that's my vote. James wants to turn it to the people... And I want to turn it to the elders, as is often the case. We're going to preview stuff today, for real.
For once.
Yeah, for once, you might say. we used to do that a lot.
Did
back
we?
In the olden times.
It's hard to remember back that far.
Yeah. Yeah. The season wears on you.
It does. It really does. It's a mental game more than a physical game, football
yeah, that's, you
is,
know,
I think.
And podcasting, too. They say that
yeah.
it's 99% mental and only 1% physical.
Yeah, I've heard that.
All right, James, we didn't talk about this. Do you want to start in the NFC or the AFC? I don't know which order they're in the real world.
I don't know either. Let's start in the AFC, because that, in my opinion, is the more boring one.
It's also alphabetically first.
Yeah.
At least for now.
For now.
For now. Well, okay, so the AFC matchup would be Colts and Patriots. What happened? The Colts defense, as we, to use a phrase that we kind of tried to use last time, put up a historic... effort against an overwhelmingly favored offense.
Yeah,
you know,
they
a
really
very
did.
Good offense that they really shut down.
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
I don't know. We had a good idea tossed around by a good friend of ours, friend of the podcast, that you know they've got the DirecTV commercials with Rob Lowe and less good Rob Lowe.
Uh huh.
Yeah. Well, so the next one should be a Peyton Manning commercial.
Oh,
you know,
no.
I'm regular season Peyton Manning, and I have DirecTV
no.
and playoff Peyton Manning, and I have cable.
That's too much.
I don't know though. I mean, it really seems like there's this offense that, and in fairness to Peyton, he was playing with like a torn quad or something
yeah,
like
we,
that.
Yeah, we now
which,
know or whatever.
Dear God in heaven, I'm not sure I could walk with a torn quad.
Yeah, I don't know.
Listeners, I'm not actually sure where the quad is, so
it's the, it's
maybe
the thigh. It's
the thigh thing.
Up here.
Yeah, all right. Walking was appropriate then. Yeah, I'm not sure that I could do that. So it's you know, I hate to pile onto a guy who actually has muscles that are torn because boy, does that sound like it sucks.
Yeah, well, I you know the Colts came in with a pretty solid game plan, which was make him throw over the top, and he
yeah.
wasn't able to step into those throws and throw over the top, and it was then they weren't getting yards after catch on the short routes, and it was just. It's pretty brutal, but that's not going to work against the Patriots, though.
No.
The Patriots don't throw over the top unless it's Edelman doing it.
Yes.
Based on my understanding of how that offense is structured.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. And it's a lot harder to prevent Gronk from getting yards after catch than it is
yeah.
basically any receiver that...
Yep, and the other thing, I think that the Patriots are going to run in this game a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't run, like, at all in their last game, of course. Which
yeah.
means, firstly, that I think they're going to run a lot just because that's what they do. They,
yeah.
they love that stuff. But also because that Colts run defense isn't great.
No.
I will say that if you're in some kind of hypothetical world where you play daily fantasy sports for defensive players, DeQuell Jackson would be high on my list this week. Because
yeah.
I just think they're going to run 40
He's
or
just
going
to have
times.
To make those tackles.
Yeah.
yeah,
even, I mean, you know, we're fans of DeQuell Jackson.
Yeah,
I think it's fair
he's
to
a
say
good
we've
linebacker.
Been fans of DeQuell
mm-hmm.
Jackson through his career.
I'd say
but
so.
This is an opportunity argument. I just think they're going to be running at up the middle a lot in this
yeah.
game because the Colts defense is weak there. And I mean, Denver ran successfully up the middle
right.
in that
yeah.
game. And
absolutely.
And I suspect that that's, you know, if you're looking for a defensive player who's got a stats, I don't know if you can make prop bets on conference championships. I bet you can somewhere.
You almost certainly can.
And I don't know if they include defensive players.
That is less likely, I think.
But if you find one, I would be very interested in double-digit tackles for DeQuell Jackson, which is probably about what the over-under would be.
Yeah.
And that's really what I see happening. I mean, hopefully the Colts come out with a plan to really blanket those. I mean, they can come out with that same plan and just try to blanket the underneath and hope they manage to tackle. It may be their best option.
I guess so. I don't know exactly. The Patriots are probably the hardest team to think of, like, a reasonable game plan to beat them. Because they happen to be so adaptable. And they don't have, aside from, you know, Tom Brady and maybe Gronkowski, they don't really have, like, you know, you can't say, all right, this game, we're going to shut down this star player, and that's going to screw up them entirely.
Yeah, I mean, usually what teams that have beaten them do is get a lot of pressure and kind of rattle Tom Brady, but that's going to be difficult for the Colts. They don't have a great pass rush,
let's just say.
Yeah, so I'm not optimistic. I would really like the Colts to win, but I'm just not,
I think the
not
world
sure
would,
about it.
But
And from the Patriots side, I mean, they're probably going to play Revis on Hilton. That's what I would do.
That's what I would do.
The Colts running game is terrible, so they honestly probably aren't going to leave many resources there at all. I don't know what they're going to do about the two tight ends, but I imagine they'll find some combination of using Browner there, which is kind of, I think, a better use for him than
absolutely
what they've been doing. And I don't know, I see a lot of ways that the Patriots win this on both sides, that they're able to exploit the Colts defense, even though, again, we kind of saw the Colts defense use a strategy I think would be good against them, but it's going to be much harder against the Patriots, I think, with Tom Brady looking pretty sharp.
Yeah.
So probably their best hope is the Andrew Luck explosion, which,
not an unreasonable expectation. Yeah. He's a magic kind of guy.
And I mean, the Colts, other than Revis, who's very good, but other than Revis, I think, you know, the Colts should be able to get open on those players.
Yeah,
and honestly, you can get open on Revis, too. We've learned that. He's very good, but no one
can really lock anyone down.
Yeah, so I mean, I think that
you can see Andrew Luck having a game where he could pick apart the New England secondary.
Yeah, I really am worried about their running game, though, because they love to try to run, and that
is
the
not
New
good.
England defense is good.
Yes.
Like, I don't know how
they're good. New England's
defense
is good, and the Colts' defense is not good.
I assumed when Gerard Mayo got injured that they were going to do what they did last year and give up 5 yards per carry to everyone, and it didn't happen this year.
Yeah, they learned from last year, I guess.
Yeah, Jamie Collins has been awesome.
Yeah.
That's a lot of it. If you want another... Well, actually, I don't know.
Whether
he's going to get double-digit tackles depends on whether the Colts just decide to give up on the run. We think they should,
but they probably won't. I can see Dan Heron having, like, 12 carries for 9 yards tomorrow or something.
It wouldn't even be that different from a normal week. All right, well, that's all I've got on that game. That's how I feel like the defenses are going to kind of stack up. I don't know if you have any other thoughts there.
Not particularly.
All right, so NFC side, you said you're more excited about this. Is that just because the Seahawks are involved?
It is a little bit because the Seahawks. And HaHa Clinton Dix. How could you not? Yeah, it's our defensively named player of the year against, I don't know.
Maybe all years.
Maybe all years
forever. This and all future years.
Yeah. Against you know, Aaron Rodgers, man who is an exciting offensive player, but you know, so it's like it's a good matchup. It's a showdown of two teams that have, you know, complementary isn't quite the right way to describe it because they're not working together, but you know,
Well, so
their strengths
game,
go well to negating each other.
Yeah, I think this game is going to come down in large part to the Seattle pass rush, which is very, very good. Last week against the team that we know has not a great offensive line.
Yes.
The Packers offensive line is very good. And if they can buy Aaron Rodgers a lot of time and make it so he doesn't have to move around too much on whatever his injury is.
Yeah.
I don't know if we know exactly.
Strained
calf,
or something.
Yeah, we don't know how extensive that is, but he didn't look
It's
didn't
not
look
torn,
great.
Well, it's not,
whatever. Anyway, the point is if he has time, I think their receivers are going to be able to get open against someone. Even if it's not Richard Sherman, they'll be able to get open somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, and that's a reasonable assumption.
Because the Seahawks secondary has looked very good, but it hasn't... I think it's looked a little less good than last year, and
yes.
I think that that the Packers can get open against those guys. You know, Devontae Adams was awesome last week.
He sure was.
Nelson and Cobb are both really good. It's hard to cover those guys if they can get time. And that's why I say I think it really comes down to how much time they get. And the rest of it almost doesn't matter.
Basically, I mean, we know that Aaron Rodgers, if you give him time, he can make plays happen.
I guess the other option would be for them to just try to run up the middle. Seattle's interior defensive linemen still aren't great.
It's true, they're not.
You have to deal with Bobby Wagner. But
kind of a machine. But
And I think they will run, because they've been doing it. I mean, they did it
with good effect against Dallas, who... had a, you know, not a flimsy interior defense, so their running game is good, and again, that goes back to a good offensive line.
Yeah, and in my mind, this game comes down to that offensive line versus Seattle's defense, rush. At least on that side of the ball.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have feelings about how Green Bay's gonna...
I don't know that Green Bay is really set up to handle the Russell Wilson, Marshawn Lynch experience.
I really hope they manage it. Remember, the danger, of course, Green Bay is the team that got obliterated in the Kaepernick game, right?
Yeah.
The team that gave up whatever 200 yards, rushing yards to Kaepernick. So hopefully they're more prepared than they were that time.
Yeah, and they did the whole clinic on how to handle mobile quarterbacks.
You know, if they can keep him inside. Those, you know, Wilson was awesome last week, and if he plays like that and hits guys... The thing is, those receivers aren't good.
Right. That's the major advantage that Aaron Rodgers has over Russell Wilson is probably the fact that his receivers are of a higher caliber than the receivers Wilson's throwing to.
And I think that's for real. Although, you know, Wilson makes the receivers look better and Rodgers makes the receivers look better.
But it's true.
The receivers Rodgers have are real.
I think Rodgers' baseline is starting at a higher level than Wilson is. Because when your number one guy is, I guess, Doug Baldwin...
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, probably Doug Baldwin.
Kurse for deep stuff and Baldwin for shorter stuff. And
yeah. That's not tough. A spectacular resume, let's just say. But Russell Wilson, Russell Hustle Muscle Wilson, has at least the... You know, he's got that same sort of electrifying playmaking, team building.
Yeah, so then that means it's going to come down to your Clay Matthews and Julius Peppers types to really keep him from rolling out, kind of contain him in the pocket, and,
I guess,
and get to him and really
so
bother him. I think that's going to be critical.
It's the D-lines. It's whichever team's D-line plays better, you know?
Yeah.
Can Seattle get to Aaron Rodgers, and can Green Bay keep Wilson contained? That's probably what's going to decide the game.
I would agree. I do think there's a danger... That, you know, I guess if you count the defensive line in the run game for Green Bay, I think that's important too.
Right.
If they can't stop
Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah, if they don't manage that, it's going to be tough. And, Carolina did pretty well at it, but there's no Luke Kuechly.
Yeah.
And there's no Star Latulule either. So.
Right.
Those Green Bay players are decent, but they're not at the level, I think, of Carolina's in the run game. So it's going to be interesting. And, you know, maybe we get to see how Clinton Dix come down for run support a little more.
Yeah.
And, you know, if I was the Packers, I would be dedicating extra players to run support / watch Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
and trust
too.
More one-on-one matchups because, you know, Sam Shields and those guys, they can
cover
good. On the outside,
yeah.
I think.
They're good. You've got to trust your secondary to handle, you know, these sub-star receivers out there.
So if I was running that team, I would be kind of jamming the box a little bit and just trying to keep contain on the run game and then hoping that, you know, if Russell Wilson's going to go crazy again, then...
then maybe there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
Except hope that Aaron Rodgers goes crazier. Ooh.
Yeah, which is always possible. You know?
Yeah.
It is interesting, though, that I think, you know, is there any position where we would think that on the defense where we would think Green Bay's defensive player is better than the corresponding Seattle player? Maybe Peppers?
Maybe Peppers.
Oh, and maybe outside linebacker. Clay Matthews is probably better.
Clay Matthews is good, yeah.
Than Seattle's staple of outside linebackers.
Yeah,
so.
That's probably true.
But in terms of safeties and cornerbacks, you know,
I
like
Seattle's
the Green Bay
them...
cornerbacks and their safeties, honestly.
Yeah,
the...
no, I mean, they're not bad, but I think Seattle's got them beat.
Yeah,
basically every position.
And that's concerning. And then Bobby Wagner's definitely better than the linebackers, the interior linebackers. Although they've been playing Clay Matthews at interior linebacker sometimes.
Right. Which is interesting.
And they might play him as a spy. I don't know if that would...
I don't know how that would help.
I don't know how that would work.
Yeah, exactly. But
it would work in the someone has to do it.
Someone's
got to
do it, right.
So that would be... It'll be kind of interesting to see who they assign to Russell Wilson in different situations.
Yeah.
Because I think that's a big part of the... part of this game. But yeah, I mean, the defensive lines in this game and the coverage in the other game, basically.
That's how it's going to boil down.
That's our theory.
Defense wins championships, listeners. None of this offense crap.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. We'll find out, though.
Yeah, that's true.
If Green Bay wins this and the Colts win this, we will have a very low defense
championship game. Yeah, Super Bowl game, is going to be a score fest.
Yeah, which would be my preference.
Yeah,
although honestly, I don't mind Seattle. I like Seattle, but I would not like the Patriots to win again. I'm sick of the Patriots.
Yeah, we're all kind of tired of them.
Yeah. All right, well, anyway, that's...
we digressed
from the players, as always, but yeah, that's how we feel about those games. Listening to a short edition the Impenetrable Fortress podcast. Mm-hmm. Our theme and interstitial music is Dear Liza by Ned and the Dirt. You can get their album Giants on iTunes and CD Baby, and maybe in stores if you're lucky. Who can say? I mean, there's always a chance.
You could always try.
We're gonna do a Super Bowl preview. I don't know if it'll be next week or the week after. Probably the week after.
Yeah.
So that we can get our props in line and all be prepared. Last time we did a three-person podcast with our producer Sarah, and we all brought props to the table and we talked them through and we all voted on them. So we may run that again.
Good. Yeah.
We tried to focus on some defensive props, so we might and some silly props.
Yeah. So that's true.
We've
all also been invited to the Podcast Pro Bowl this year.
It's true. So we'll have to take
we have to take some time off to handle that. You know, you want to make sure that you play at a competitive level, but you don't want to get hurt during these Pro Bowl like activities, right?
So exactly,
it's a fine line you got to walk there because we don't want to embarrass ourselves. But
yep,
no one wants a strained larynx.
I agree.
It's just the worst.
Hit of the week is pretty obviously Cam Chancellor jumping over a guy twice in a row.
Yeah, that's... God, I hate the NFL so much right now just because neither of those things counted. I don't even care if there were penalties on those plays.
Yeah. Also, you know, Cowboys fans, cover your ears, but the hit the ground laid on Dez Bryant.
Oh, maybe. Man. Let me tell you, gosh, I shouldn't put this on a recorded medium of any kind, but boy, do I think that was a catch.
I know.
I really think that was a catch.
Anyway, what can you do? That will be it. We'll be back in a week or two, probably two. From Alan
and James. Stay low.